gods circumambulated her. Then they returned to their celestial kingdom. See the prophet's purport. Although King Indra and the other demigods are exalted personalities, they were so obedient to Narada Muni that King Indra immediately accepted Narada Muni's words concerning Prahlad Maharaj. This is called understanding by the Parampara system. Indra and the demigods did not know that a great devotee was in the womb of Kayadhu, the wife of Hiranyakashipu. But they accepted the authoritative statements of Narada Muni and immediately offered their respects to the devotee by circumambulating the woman in whose womb he was living. To understand God and the devotee by the Parampara system is the process of knowledge. There is no need to speculate about God and his devotee. One should accept the statements of a bona fide devotee and thus try to understand. Om Jnanati Varam Dasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshu Unmidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahiyam Dadati Supadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Lagunatam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Patijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padang Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitangscha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostade Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavanishwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haribhye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Babu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gova Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. So, this is a very nice verse describing the importance of taking the words of the spiritual master to heart, even though they may conflict with one's apparent immediate interest. The demigods had been able here to take over their kingdom again. Hiranyakashipu had conquered the heavenly kingdom. But then he was so enraged by the death of his brother, Hiranyaksha, at the hands of Lord Varaha, that he decided to become so powerful that he would be able to conquer Vishnu and he would be invincible. So he went off to perform great austerities. And while he was away, the demigods took the advantage, the opportunity to scatter the demons. They were so determined to get back their kingdom, as describes how the demons fled hither and thither, even leaving their wives and children and just going off and saving their lives. So now they find that Kayadhu is there, and she's pregnant with Prahlad. So they're thinking, oh, this is the next in the line of this horrible demon. So we have to take her into custody, and then, assumedly, they would slay Prahlad when he was born. But Narada Muni appears, as he often does, at just the opportune time, and he explains that you will not be able to kill this great devotee of the Lord, and so let me take him to my ashram. And so they defer, even though this could have, by their material calculations, could be suicidal, practically. If this Prahlad really comes out and is another Hiranyakashipu, then it could be disastrous. But they surrender, and not only that, but they circumambulate Kayadhu when they go off. So then we'll hear how Narada Muni takes Kayadhu to his ashram and instructs her in this Bhagavad Dharma, and while he's instructing her, Prahlad is hearing, and in this way he's actually initiated by Narada Muni and enlightened, completely enlightened. Even though he was already a great devotee, it's described he's becomes completely perfect in that state. So I thought we'd focus a little on this theme of this purport, which is the importance of understanding the significance of the parampara, and how we can only understand God and the devotee by means of the parampara. So I thought it would be a good opportunity to review this song we sing every morning, Sri Guru Charana Padma, which so nicely encapsulates the different features of the guru, who is, after all, the immediate representative of the parampara. This knowledge is coming down, as Krishna explains very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita, Ivam parampara praptam, Ivam rajasya yogaduhu, sakale ne mahata yoga nashta parantapa. The knowledge comes down from Krishna. Krishna is the original guru, Adi Guru, and it comes down through Brahma and from our sampradaya, from Brahma to Narada, from Narada to Vyas, Vyas to Madhva, etc., all the way down to the present day. And we had no idea of that. Growing up in the West, those of us who grew up without benefit of being in a devotee family, this whole system of knowledge was completely obscured to us. We had no idea. And so this idea of trying to understand the world and trying to understand ourselves, and if we happen to be that interested in trying to understand God by our own efforts, was all that we had. And naturally, we were completely confused. And everyone is confused without access to a genuine parampara that is truly transmitting the words of the Supreme Personality of God and the instructions as given originally to Brahma. So when we sing, when we meet every morning and we sing this Sri Guru Charana Padma song, we're recognizing the importance of the parampara and especially the importance of the representative of parampara, the guru. So I thought we'd go through and try to just contemplate the significance of each of the ideas here, which is very, very wonderfully given to us in Narottam's Thakur. So, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. The first idea is that the lotus feet of the guru are the abode of bhakti, of pure devotion. So, Kevala Bhakati Sadma. So, if we want to achieve pure devotional service, we have to serve the lotus feet of the guru. We need to, and it will be explained, the details of that in this song, that this is where bhakti lies. And so the first concept, and it says, abandomi savadana mate, I offer my obeisances with great care and attention. This is the actual meaning of savadana. Sometimes, or often, I can speak for myself, we offer obeisances, we're not really doing it with great care and attention. It becomes rote, it becomes something we do as a matter of course, but are we thinking about what the significance is? What do those words mean? Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale. That all of these words, these concepts Sri Prabhupada gave us himself, are so significant that he is dear, most dear upon this earth, that he is delivering the Western lands by preaching the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and delivering us from impersonalism and voidism. So the overriding central emotion that we should have toward the guru is one of gratitude, thankfulness. It's just like if someone saved you from death, and it's not just one death, eternal death, repeated death. It is unlimited and unrepayable gratitude is really the first emotion, and that's why this great care and attention is so important. So what is the result of the mercy of the guru that's coming in, down from Krishna through the parampara? Kevala bandami savadana mate yahara pasarabe eva bhavatoriya yai Krishna bhakti prapti hoyate. That, forgive me, it's a little hard to remember exactly the words when I'm not singing it, but you can correct me. So the first idea is that you can cross over the ocean of birth and death on the boat of the lotus feet of the guru, and those are also Krishna's lotus feet. They are synonymous, practically speaking. So what is that ocean? Sometimes in Mangalarti, it's compared to a forest fire. These are the two main analogies given to this world, a forest fire or an ocean. So both are places of great danger, isn't it? And both, actually, you can be in an ocean, and you're on a cruise ship, say, and you forget you're in great danger, isn't it? You're enjoying like anything, and then every so often you hear about, oh my God, there was a fire on the cruise ship. I think it happened a few months, and everyone had to leave, and the whole bubble was burst, the enjoying bubble, and they were, oh my God, we might die, you know. Everyone is thinking Titanic, whatever, you know, isn't it? And the same thing in the forest fire. You go off to the forest, very nice, Sylvan, you're exploring here and there, you have maybe a little picnic, you know, and suddenly, what's that smell? Oh, I smell smoke. And now suddenly there's a forest fire, just like Krishna's friends also were threatened by the forest fire. But, and then the forest suddenly becomes a great place of danger you cannot escape from if it's a roaring, blazing forest fire. So in both cases, you need, whether it's an ocean or a forest fire, you need a higher intervention, right? You need someone to come. You need a cloud to suddenly, by great, you know, your grace, to burst open and douse the forest fire. Or you need the helicopter to come and pull you out of the drink, you know, when you're flailing away with your little life preserver there, whatever. And you need someone who's out of the forest fire or out of the ocean who can save us. So this is the first idea. We should really feel desperately in need of help in this material world, and that the guru has come to save us, and therefore there's this opening of tremendous feeling of gratitude. And not only does he save us, but he takes us to Krishna. Krishna prapti. You know, to attain Krishna is the ultimate goal of life, is the ultimate goal of the jiva. And we don't even know that. This is how we're bound up in this world, is through ignorance of who we are, what is our real goal in life. And so we take these immediate goals of safety or maintenance or sense gratification or getting mundane knowledge as our goals in life, forgetting that these are just temporary and as substantial as bubbles in the ocean or as phantasmagoria in the sky, that they're insubstantial. And birth after birth, we are in ignorance. We are taking as our goals, our immediate goals, our ultimate goals, something which is truly insubstantial. So the guru, in representing the parampara, this knowledge, tells us who we are, what is the goal of life, and gives us the means to attain it as well. This is a gift that is insurpassable. So Krishna Babihoya Hoyte, and then it describes Guru Mukha Padma Bhakya, Chite Te Kodiya Aika, Arna Kodiya Mone Asha. This is one of the most essential ideas here, is that how does this all take place? How does the saving from the ocean of birth and death and the gift of Krishna Prema, which takes us to Krishna, how does it take place? By the words, transmitting the words coming from the lotus mouth of the guru. So here the instruction is, because he says, oh brothers, right, in the first, oh brothers and sisters, bow, you know, I bow down, you should bow down to the lotus feet of the guru. And now so Narottam is giving instruction to us as well as everyone. So Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kodiya Aikya. To make the words, the instructions emanating from the spiritual master's lotus mouth one with our heart. One with our heart. And don't desire anything else. this is a great difficulty. Because there are so many instructions, just like here, Narada Muni is giving instruction that the demigods may say, wait a minute, this is a great danger, maybe we shouldn't accept this instruction. But they do defer to Narada Muni, having faith. They have faith in the words of the guru that these are for our best interests. Even though, as they often do, these instructions go against our immediate desires or sense gratification. This is the whole context of the Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna desires suddenly to leave the battlefield so that he doesn't have to kill his guru and his the great grandfather Bhishma and his friends, relatives, and he gives a whole list there. Suddenly his heart opens. He's a soft-hearted Vaishnava after all, and he's thinking, you know, he's covered a little by Krishna, this is all arranged, that who needs this kingdom? If I have a kingdom and everyone who I could enjoy the kingdom with I'd kill and it's soaked with their blood, then how can I enjoy the kingdom? Yeah, let me go to the forest and subsist by begging. So Krishna takes the role of his guru. He is his guru. He leaves the role of a friend, takes the role of a guru, to give him instructions that are painful. They're painful. This is the voice of the sadhu. Sometimes it's cutting because we're established in our little comfort zone or a little conception of self, what is good, what is bad, what is pleasing, what is displeasing. And the guru comes and says, no, this is not to your best interest. Arjuna says, now I'm no longer in the role of your friend, arguing this way and that way. I'm now your shishya. Means I agree to be controlled by you in your words. Now please instruct me as to what is my shreya, what is my ultimate good. And that's really the turning point for all of us, is that, yes, you may instruct me, and even though it may be difficult, I'll try my best to follow those instructions, because I know that ultimately it's for my best interest. This is the idea. So, with that faith, we can accept the words of the guru as one with our heart, and then not desire anything else. And this enables us to progress in the path of devotional service. So, Guru Mukha Padmalachita Tekariya, Arna Kadiyamona Asha, Sri Guru Charanarati, isn't it? AC Uttamagati, Ye Pasare Apuri Sarva Asha. So now here's a key idea that, unfortunately, I must say, in all honesty, does not come out in the translation that we say every day, but this is very important. Shri Guru Charanarati, AC Uttama Gati. That attraction or love for the lotus feet of the Guru is the ultimate means of advancement. The word gati in this context means means of advancement. And Ye Prasade Purusava Asha, that his grace fulfills all of our spiritual aspirations. And so this idea of being, it's not just some professor teaching us, and you get some facts and then you get a degree. There has to be loving exchange there. That's the idea. And that comes through service. First of all, there's a sense of gratitude. It's like children for their parents. When you grow up a little bit, and like recently my mother passed away, and I had the good fortune, actually, she had the good fortune that I was able to see her just a few weeks when she was still ambulatory, and I got her to chant Hare Krishna. I got her to chant japa, and she heard Prabhupada chanting kirtan again and again on the tape. But I was thinking, I was helping her and doing things that needed to be done. It's just human, human life to be grateful to your parents for raising you when you're completely helpless, feeding you, teaching you, protecting you. Krishna himself, he says in the Krishna book, you remember that? Where one who is able to help their elderly parents but doesn't, dwells for where, millions of years in hell, he has to eat his own flesh, something like that. Horrible. So that's endemic in this world. So what to speak of our eternal father in the form of the guru, who's given us our eternal life, the key to eternal life, and protected us. This is the words, the instructions of the guru are our protection, a shelter. These are shelter from the illusion of this world, which of so many other sound vibrations, which bewilder us as to our best interest and keep us bound in this world of suffering. So this is a sense of gratitude and love should develop for the lotus feet of the spiritual master. And that is the best means of advancement. Now those go together. By having affection for some, if you have affection for somebody, you love someone, you're definitely ready to take their instructions to heart, isn't it? Because you know that love is being reciprocated, and they're not going to tell you something that's going to do you harm. So all these ideas, they all work together very nicely. And then the grace, this we also sing in Mangalarti, very key verse, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, yasya prasada, nagadikatopi, that by the grace of the spiritual master, one gets the mercy of Krishna. But without that, again the word gati is here. Yasya prasada nagati kirtopi. There is no means of advancement without that grace. So we should strive for that. And that comes simply from studying. Srila Prabhupada's words are within his books and within his recorded lectures. And by taking those words to heart and trying to follow them, his grace follows. The grace comes in that way. So then, Chakodan Dilo Ye Janme Janme Prabhu Se. So here you have the idea, he who gives the gift of vision. Now, the gift of the eyes, right? Chakudan diloge. He who is given the gift of this vision is my master birth after birth. So here comes like the idea that Lord Chaitanya expresses also, that we're not even looking for liberation. We may not even expect it. You understand, oh, we're so fallen, we may have to come back again and again. But as long as we can be under the shelter of the guru and recognize as the master. So this is a great, another sense of gratitude, the gift of vision. That means Shastra Chakshu, means the vision of the Shastra, of the revealed scripture that allows us to finally see after so many birth times of blindness. Andaya dandaya rupagi upindiyamana. Prahlad Maharaj says that those who do not recognize Vishnu as the ultimate goal of life, and rather have external aspirations, durashayaye bharatamanana, then it's not that they also preach this. They also may become teachers in this illusion, and they lead others. So you have the blind leading the blind. Andayatanda. So we've been in that situation for so many birth times, and many of us in this birth also for many years. So now that suddenly the eyes are open, sometimes forcibly, right? Om agyana dhamarana gyananjana shalakaya, with this instrument. Yes, you have to open it. And it's a great gift. Chakudhan diloye. So I reckon it's birth after birth is my master. Divya gyan vidhi prakashita. Now here's another idea that is obscured in our ordinary translation. Divya gyan vidhi prakashita. That he manifested divine knowledge in the heart. By, as Krishna says, tad vidhi pranipatena paripashnena seveya. By surrender, service, and inquiry, then the knower of the truth, Jnana Darshana, Tattva Darshi, can instill this divine knowledge in the heart. And what happens then? Prema Bhakti Yaha Hoiti, Avidya Vinashayati. So ignorance is dispelled, and Prema Bhakti is manifest through the instilling of that divine knowledge, which gives, again, what is sadhya, what is sadhana? What is the ultimate goal, and how to achieve it? Who are we? All of this knowledge comes through the parampara. So, divya gyan vidhi prakashito, prema bhakti yaha hoti, avidya vinashayate, vedegya yaha racharito. And all the Vedas, the revealed scriptures, sing the glories of the acharya, the guru who is giving this knowledge. So, Shri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Adama Janata Bandhu, the best friend of the fallen, Adama. This is the first qualification of the aspirant for self-realization is humility. Amanatvam. Isn't it? Adambitvam. As Sanatana Goswami approaches Lord Chaitanya with the straw in his mouth. Sanatana Goswami is a great learned scholar. He was a minister in the government. But he says, oh, it's all useless. I'm just taking the straw in my mouth and recognizing I'm an empty vessel. I don't recognize. People call me learned, but what use is that knowledge if I don't know who I am, why I'm suffering, or how to relieve the suffering? So that recognition on a daily basis is essential for becoming receptacles of the knowledge from the guru. So Sri Guru Karuna Sindhu, an ocean of mercy, and that means that there's no end to it. In other words, first of all, we see how Prabhupada really personified that. He left India at great risk to his own personal health to follow the orders of a spiritual master, just so that in the Western worlds, you know, which were completely in darkness, we could have access to this knowledge and access to the holy name, which is another great gift of the parampara, so we could be saved. So this is a direct evidence of this sense of compassion and mercy that the spiritual master represents. And we know Srimati Radharani is also personified mercy. She's also all of the devotional service goes through her, and so the spiritual master is representative of Srimati Radharani. If we serve the spiritual master, then it goes to Krishna through Radharani. So that spiritual master, he's allowing us, because we cannot serve Krishna directly, but we can serve the spiritual master. But what does he say? Serve Krishna. He doesn't say serve me. Chant Hare Krishna. Don't chant my name. Chant Hare Krishna. So in this way, everything fits in perfectly. So Shri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Shri Guru Karuna Sindhu, Adama Janarabandha, Lokanath Lokata Jivara. So here, Narottama is singing to his own guru, Lokanath Swami, Goswami. So he says, Lokanath, Lokata Jivara, he's the very life and soul of this world. So we can also sing, as I do, Prabhupada Lokata Jivara. That Prabhupada and is the very life and soul of this world because his teachings, which is he himself is spread throughout his teachings and through his representatives all over the world, and that's the only life in this world. Otherwise, it's just dead bodies flapping. Well, and eventually, everyone who's not will be merged into the body of Mahavishnu, and it'll all become nothing. So the real life, the only life is bhakti, and. So then there's this prayer, right? There's all this glorification, then there's this prayer. It's like, Haha Prabhu Korodoya Deho Mora Parachoya. Alas, alas, my Lord, I'm helpless. Please give me the shade of your lotus feet. Means let me have the shelter of your lotus feet means eternal service there. Ebe Yashagushik Tri Bhavana, your glories are sung all over the three worlds. So when we sing this song, it's practically a reaffirmation. Just like in Vyasa Puja, when there's nothing but, glorification of Srila Prabhupada and remembrance, reading of the offering and so forth. And oftentimes we feel, yes, this is a reaffirmation where we should, again, try to become, better devotees, servants. So similarly, every morning should be a little mini Vyasa Puja. It is, that's what it is. It's Guru Puja. And we should, again, feel our indebtedness to Srila Prabhupada and realize, coming back to the verse, that he's carrying with him the whole weight, the whole profound compassion and knowledge and devotion of the parampara. It's not just, we're in the company of great souls, when we turn our attention and we turn our devotion to Gurudev. And this is really how our devotion can progress. This is the engine, this is the source of enthusiasm. Is the order of the spiritual master, life and soul. And we learn from Vishwanath Chakravarti through Srila Prabhupada in that famous verse, second chapter, Vavasayatmaka buddhi ekeha kodunandana bahushakinam tascha. What is it? What is that? Gurudeho vavasayanam, thank you. So this Vavasayatmaka buddhi, this one-pointed attention and focus on devotional service and surrender, means, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, making the order of the spiritual master our life and soul. And we see how Srila Prabhupada did that, and he was exalted. And, when we study the life, we see there's so many difficulties he had to overcome. So many seemingly hopeless periods when, that whole year in the West, he'd risked everything and heart attacks, and he comes, there's no friends, there's no money, his god brothers won't help him. But he didn't give up. he held on to the lotus feet of his spiritual master and the order, somehow or other, do or die, you're going to try to preach in the West and spread this mission. And then boom, it exploded and became what we know as the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So that I was reading, I was just on his Japa retreat for 5 days, highly recommended if you get a chance to do it. And one of the things I was reading here and there, how... The lives of the saints are every few days. You notice how there's always an appearance day. We just had Sita Takarani's appearance day on the 16th, and now, of course, Lalita Shasti, Radhashtami coming up. When we properly honor those days by honoring the great saints or the avatars, Srimati Radharani, the internal energy, this is very, very, it helps us in our devotion. Like it says, if you observe the appearance day of or disappearance day of Srila Rupa Goswami, I'll try to find the reference for this. It says you get 1/100th of the merit of those great souls. In other words, you are able to acquire some of the qualities, and this is what we're all about. When we chant Hare Krishna, we just say, you're associating with Krishna through his holy name, and. You become, as Prabhupada said many times, Krishnized. Become Krishnized in your regaining the actual nature as a servant of Krishna, and one with and different from Krishna. So you become Krishnized, By association, through the holy name. So that also works with all of our great souls. They're none of them material beings. And so when we come, we worship Srila Prabhupada, we think about the meaning of that song, we follow the instructions, we hear Srimad Bhagavatam, we're getting spiritual strength by that, by which we can then follow the instructions and progress in our devotional service. So we should not neglect these instructions. The more that we can make these words one with our heart, the more that we'll be on the safe side. And it really boils down so much to the words, isn't it? The word is the original. The holy name, Om, is the created the universe, the original word. I was reading some of the strong words of the Bhagavatam on what happens when you neglect those words. And this, I'll end with this, and then we can open maybe a few minutes of discussion. Somehow this verse struck me as very, very significant, because we're bombarded. It's the age of information. You know, and you just turn one instant this way. Your cell phone rings, you're in the internet, you know, a million things, people talk. You can easily turn from the pure sound vibration. We all know that. So here's the statement. Now, this is in the chapter, the description of the kingdom of God in the third chapter. A very wonderful chapter. And at, near the end of it, Sukadeva, I think, is speaking here. He says, Yanna vajant agabado vachanan vadak chinvandiyena vishaya kukata matignihi yastu shuta hatabagar nibarata saras tang tang chapunta ashadaneshu tamaksu hanta. Hanta, alas. Very strong verse. So he says, this young Navaja, he's speaking about this land, this Vaikuntha. You cannot go there. Yanna vajanti. Those who follow, who are described in this verse, do not go there. So then, what happened? Who is that? Agabida. This is the name for Krishna. Means the who destroys sin. Agabido. Rachananavada. So Rachananavada means the creation of words. In other words, like Bhagavatam, all of these transcendental words we've been given, these shastras. They listen to other subjects besides these. Vishaya, kukata is known as kukata. We're known as, it means bad talks, bad, you know, material sound vibration in the modes of passion, ignorance. And which matigni, which destroys your intelligence and your consciousness. Then it goes on. Yastu shuta, those who hear these talks, Hatibhagaya, all of their merit is destroyed. It's taken away. Their good fortune. Bhaga is the fortune. Nibir atasaras. And atasaras means the essence is stolen away. The essence of life. Namely, our most precious possession is our desire to serve Krishna. That's taken away. It just disappears. And then he says, tongs, tongs. Tong, tong means here and there, whatever you hear, you know, in that category. Chapanti. They're thrown down, ashadaneshu, with no shelter. Chapanj, ashadaneshu, tamaksu, into darkness, and this is sometimes said to be hell. Hanta, alas, for those who don't know. Very nice, and the purport is also, you know, very strong, obviously. So this is a very nice verse to meditate on, because this is really, you know, where the rubber hits the road, kind of, because what are we going to read? What are we going to listen to? What are we going to talk about? And what are we going to write? It comes down to that. And we've been given such an ocean of transcendental sound vibration, beginning with the chanting of the holy name. And truly, you know, this is important. This japa reform and improving, because japa is like we have that everywhere, every time. We can always chant, you know. We should. Be. And if we chant good rounds, then everything opens up. You get a taste for rehearing. You get an impulse to serve. You know. You start. Being more enthusiastic in your devotional life. Everything comes from good japa and absorption in kirtan. So I'll end with that. If there are any questions or comments on some of these points, Chaturamaji.
Going back to the translation of this verse, the questions come up a little bit in the last few verses of this chapter about Prahlad's mother. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't hear anything about her again. Did she get the reception? Was she impacted by anything Narada said? Did it just go over her head? Did she just go back and become one of the good wives of Hiranyakasipu and enjoy, you know, you know, sense gratification?
There are a few purports there, you know. The impression you get is that her mind, you know, she wasn't surrendered. The thing is, she didn't voluntarily surrender. She was arrested, you know, and then she was turned over to Narada. It wasn't really a choice of hers. And you get the impression she's just worrying about her husband. You know, her mind is distracted. So even though it's being spoken, it's not entering in the heart. She doesn't have the proper attitude of hearing and listening submissively. Whereas Prahlad did. And it all completely purified and whatever, you know. So this is the distinction. So in other words, it's not just, this is an important point, because we can chant from here till doomsday. You know, I mean, it's right there in the Shastra. I'm not making it up. If you commit all the offenses, you can chant for many thousands of births. And the root of all the offenses, what does Bhaktivinoda say? Inattention. Inattention. If you're inattentive, then all the other offenses, you're subject to them, you know. So we're yogis. We're meant to be yogis, you know, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, fixing it on the holy name. And not just the holy name, but everything. When we read, when we study, when we're in class, this is, you know, Upadeshamrita. This Niyamagraha. Just going through the motions, but not being attentive and understanding the meaning. Sometimes, you know, samsara dava, we should feel the flames. We should feel the heat of the burning fire of material life. Oh, and the cooling, you know, rain coming down from the Guru's mercy. That's what it's describing. It's like a cloud, you know. But if it's just going over our head, then we may be there in body, but we're not there in mind and heart. So that's the impression I get with Kayadu, is that she really wasn't there. Even though the sound vibration is going, it's not entering deeply in the heart. Any other question, comment? Yes, Prabhu?
Yeah, actually, following up, I think, in a few verses, I'm actually going to say, I can't remember if it's a few verses from now or a little earlier on. She asked Narada Muni, oh, I have just one request. Please don't let my child be born until my husband returns.
Right.
So this was like, you know, kind of her absorption. Yeah.
Yeah. She was which is kind of it's a material thing. I mean, yeah. She's not, it's not, you know, she's completely absorbed in the, you know, the safety of the child, and she's thinking, oh, the husband's going to protect me. Mm. But of course, he's a demon, you know. Don't look for protection in the demonic sense. She didn't realize that Narada Muni was really her protector. You know, if she had surrendered and heard, like Prahlad, she would be protected just as Prahlad was. Yes, Prahlad?
When Narada Muni first came, he told Indra with a proposal that you have no right to kidnap or take someone's wife when she belongs to someone.
Yes.
So she was a dharma shoti. Even though it is not a pure Krishna consciousness, but a woman must follow husbands. And then, of course, Hiranyakashipu's destiny is different. But at the end of her life also, we find that she has so much affection for Prahlad. In one sense, it is not vain, because there is a commentary of Kaliya's story that Dijapatni, his wife, they were so devoted to Krishna. They are always singing in glory, or in Stambha, under the lake, there is a big palace Kaliya had.
Yeah.
But what happened to Kaliya? Kaliya always hated his wife, but they were serving him.
Yeah.
So some or other hated in that sense because they were glorifying Krishna, and he did not want to hear. So, but at the end result, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, and if I'm not mistaken, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu also gave a comment that how did Kaliya know such a great prayers? At the end, he was praying to Krishna with so many flowery, beautiful, eloquent language. How did he hear? Where did he hear? He didn't hear from anywhere. So the comment given, oh, he did not want to hear, but the sound is so powerful, Shabda Brahma, that it's stored in the heart.
Yeah.
So Kayadi is not lost.
Yeah.
It's some life it will reveal.
Right.
Anybody, any moment, hear from any pure devotee is never lost.
Well, this is, of course, we learn of the power of the holy name as well, that even if, you know, they don't want to hear, you know, we go out in Harinam, and sometimes people try not to hear, or they hear just fleetingly, they go by, but it has its effect. It enters in and it'll come out. And again, during my mother's passing, I was playing Prabhupada's tape, You know, she didn't have any choice. You know, she was more or less bound in there, you know, and she's just listen. And okay, you know. And so it has some, you know, important effect. So, yes, this is one of the impetuses for the Sankirtan movement. Somehow or other, just get the vibration out there, and it will have its effect. This was Prabhupada's mood. But the key, you know, the key is to we should be as pure as possible in giving it, and then it'll be more appreciated and have its effect. Yeah, Prabhupada. Okay, when should we end after this? This is 9 o'clock? Okay.
Can you make a comment on the internal conviction? We know that Prabhupada spread Krishna consciousness, but his internal conviction was so great and his love was so great. Obviously, in order to do something like that, you can't be an ordinary person or a material contaminated person. So can you make a comment on the internal conviction?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've learned in the last few years, you know, Mula Bhakriti wrote that book about some of Prabhupada's, you know, moods and activities before he came. And now he was praying, you know, from the bottom of his heart, again and again, to Rupa Goswami and all the acharyas to empower him to spread this message to the West, to be able to follow it. I mean, if you try to project back, you know, and see what it was like, you know, he was... He's elderly. He had this order. He had this great conviction through his purity in this order of a spiritual master. But how to actually do it, how to accomplish this, it just seemed like an impossible task. That's why, no one else had even tried it. Well, like some of them went as far as England or whatever, you know. But to really plan to go and stay and make it happen. So he prayed. This idea of prayer is so important. If you really want to do something, you have to have the kernel of the desire, and then to utterly surrender. And that's, you know, that song. If you want, please make me dance, if you like. You know, in other words, it's up to you, Krishna. You brought me here. You know, make my words potent enough so they'll understand, and make all the arrangements, and I'll be your instrument. You know, but that's a extremely surrendered, you know, mood. So Prabhupada showed that. And the really amazing thing to me is how he sustained that even in so many reverses. This is what it takes to get the mercy of Krishna to show. I mean, look at Prahlad. You know, this idea of preaching the truth to power. I mean, could there ever be a greater contrast? This gentle little 5-year-old boy and this monstrous demon who conquered all the world. And now he's got all these benedictions from Brahma, you know, that he feels invincible. And he didn't flinch. He completely spoke the truth. So that inner conviction, as you put it, it comes through, you know, utter and absolute surrender. And true desire and great prayer to be empowered to perform these wonderful things. And I, you know, can only hope in some future birth to even have 1,000th of that kind of sincerity, you know, probably, what do you call it? Sincerity, conviction, devotion, surrender that Prabhupada showed. But, you know, but such great souls can give great shelter as well. They can give inspiration. I mean, even, you know, we see in the history of ISKCON how Prabhupada was able to empower, you know, I remember, I always, you know, I live on the West Coast and near Laguna Beach, so we're always coming in contact with the Chuddhi Prabhu. I don't know if ever you've met him. He, you know, he lives there. And he always likes to tell the story about South Africa. He was 19 years old. He went there with, I think, Nanda Kumar or somebody, Rohini Kumar. And then suddenly, he was left alone. He had a whole yatra, you know, and a bunch of books. He had some debts. And, you know, what to do, you know. So he writes to Prabhupada. Prabhupada writes him back a letter encouraging him to stay. And somehow or other, you know, he kept things going for, I don't know how long, but he actually helped to pioneer there. I mean, inconceivable. I mean, what was I doing at 19? You know, I mean, to imagine doing that. And he's not alone. So many, why? Because Prabhupada, by his example and by his conviction, he was able to instill that in others. So this is how, you know, it comes. I mean, Prabhupada got it from, I mean, he was sure he would say he got it from Bhaktisiddhanta. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was so staunch and so strict and so determined, you know, to spread, and he did in India. So it's a rare soul who has that that you know, heroic surrender and ability to do that. But that's the company we're keeping. You know, this is who we're under the shelter of, and we should renew our realization of it every day. One more comment, then we'll end. Yeah, go ahead.
Prabhuji, obviously we have to achieve purity. What about this feeling of duplicity?
Duplicity?
That I have, because obviously I'm not pure. You know, I have so many desires, you know.
Well, duplicity is something else. We, having material desires is one thing. Duplicity is, you know, if you were sitting there saying you don't have so many desires,
but Krishna, then you would be duplicity. Srila Prabhupada and Parapara loves me, even though, you know, I'm duplicious.
Duplicitous. That's the word. Duplicitous is the word.
Do I have a chance?
The love is always coming there. You have a chance, but you have to give up the duplicity.
So you know? How do I do
you
that?
You have to pray for the strength, to be straightforward. What can I say? Chant better rounds, you know. You have to. There's no other solution. Prabhupada was asked, can you help me with this? I only have one medicine, the holy name, you know. By chanting sincerely and improving our chanting, we can break through the barriers. But the problem is, over years, you develop them; they become impacted in the heart. You know, they become more difficult, you know, to give up. And the chanting can actually feed the weeds. That's another subject. You know, so it's a razor's edge. You know, we have to take stock, do something different, make a break, and you know, pray for. The strength to overcome our difficulties. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.